Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G, yo.
And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Is starting a party tonight. What a game. What a win.
That's how you start off hour three. Now, there's a game on Sunday, and as has been brought up before by Sean Mapes, it's a real vibe killer when the Astros lose on a Sunday after winning the first two games of a series. We would like them to win the game on Sunday so we can come into Monday's show with those vibes fresh on our mind. But Saturday still happened. Alex Bregman had his first walk-off in over 5 years.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I figured there had been one at some point, and you could tell how excited he was about it. I think part of it had to do with the fact that it was against the Dodgers, the team that probably whines about Bregman the most.
Yes, absolutely. I don't know if there's anyone even close to that.
Yeah, because the Yankee fans whine about Altuve.
Yeah, they don't like Altuve. They boo Bregman, but not to the level that they do, that the Dodgers fans do. Bregman's enemy number one for the Dodgers, it seems like, for sure. I was Correa before, but it seems like it's been passed on to him. But that was a great moment, and it was a big win. I know you said, what, 95% of the people on your poll that you put up, if that was the best one of the season.
Number one of the year.
Yeah, it's definitely the number one of the year.
Yeah, I mean, they had all the runs except for one with two outs to tie things up eventually. They were down 4-0. They're down 6-4. And to fight back the way that they did, I remember watching the game on Saturday night. I was wiped after Texans training camp in the morning and a long night out the night before. So I'm just sitting on my couch, and I'm barely paying attention to the game. I think I was watching season 4 of Dexter on the big TV. The Astros game was on the top TV, and the score was not great. So I was like, well, I mean, I'll sort of watch it. But then all of a sudden the rally happened with two outs. I think I went to the bathroom, and I got up, and the next thing I know, oh, okay, we're switching this to the big TV. They ultimately rally. They win, and it was super satisfying to win it like that, because that was one of those games where I thought they weren't going to have it. And on top of that, like, it was after Ronel Blanco had a struggle of a performance, and, you know, he hasn't been looking like he did at the beginning of the year for the past few weeks, which was to be expected. So you need the offense to do this some more, and it would have been nice if the offense showed up on Sunday. But the Astros pitching, for the most part, did its job over the weekend. Tons of strikeouts. And you take two or three, and it's a nice shot in the arm for a team that's not as red-hot as they were a couple of weeks ago to win a series against the Dodgers like that, even if the Dodgers were without Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman.
And we haven't mentioned this yet, Paul. This is their
third World Series victory.
Third World Series victory.
That's true.
So
that's true.
We tell them to sweep or win a World Series, 3-0 when those things happen.
We got to use them sparingly, though.
I think we're done for a while, yeah. It's got to be a certain level of opponent on the weekend.
August is going to be a tough month.
It's a very tough month.
Might like be a World Series or two in August.
Yeah. I don't want to overdo it. We got to keep it relatively.
Okay.
Well, how many do we get? Is this like a revolver? So we get six World Series in the regular season?
Why would it be like a revolver?
I don't know.
Just the number
six. I don't either, but I like the idea of that. Like, you get,
because they're the Colt. They used to be the Colt 45s.
Yeah,
there you go,
Sean. Connect
finally understands.
There
it.
We go.
I totally was thinking
that's
that.
A little A to Z, but I got it.
Totally was thinking that when I brought it up. You just don't get it.
It was, yeah, maybe six. We'll see. We'll see. It has to be. We have to feel it in the moment. It has to be a big series.
So the rest of August, they're playing the Pirates. Paul Skeens is on the hill for Pittsburgh tonight. But Tampa Bay, who's selling, at Texas, they just lost three in a row. The Red Sox lost 2 or 3 against the Yankees over the weekend. At the Rays again, the White Sox, and this is where it gets tricky. Homestand against the Red Sox. 4 games in Baltimore against the Orioles. 3 games in Philadelphia. How about those 7 road games or the next Astros World Series?
I like 7. That. I like that. It's a road World Series.
It's a road World Series against one of the best teams in the American League. Is Baltimore top dog still?
Yes.
And Philadelphia, who is the best team in all of baseball?
All right. Fair. That's the next World Series. No World Series allowed before that.
And that's the last World Series, too.
The real World Series.
They have an easy September. So we figured it out, but the Astros are 3-0 in World Series thus far. I wanted to give this child a shout-out again. Again, I don't know whether or not he makes me want to get a vasectomy or if he makes me look back fondly on my own childhood as a obnoxiously loud child watching sporting events, but... if you were watching yesterday's television broadcast of the Astros and Dodgers, you definitely heard this kid.
Oh, see at the end there, like his friends joined. I wonder if it was like a youth baseball team.
That would make sense because when we went to the Sugarland Space Cowboys game for ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Listener Appreciation Night a couple of weeks ago, there was a group of very loud, I want to say middle school aged kids who were hooting and hollering. As Larry Bird once said to me, "You going to scream and cheer tonight, Paul?" Yes.
What I appreciate about those kids, though, is they were doing all their normal like dugout chants. Like when their guys were up to bat, so they weren't just saying the same thing over and over again. So they were a little more creative with it.
Yeah, they had something for Pedro León.
Yep.
They had something for Will Wagner.
Yeah, they were moving and grooving.
Omar Narváez.
This kid's a one trick pony.
But he's a one trick pony all game long. I mean, it's like throwing a rising fastball the way Christian Javier basically that was his only pitch at first. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just and the thing with Javier couldn't even go 5 innings half the time. This kid threw a complete game vocal beatdown on our eardrums.
With only fastballs.
All fastballs. All gas, no breaks.
And they didn't win. And they didn't. It was not really a close game for most of it. So, you know, he stood strong.
He stuck in there, right.
Even in the bad, he stood with his team. So we give him credit.
Respect.
I'm glad I wasn't sitting there.
Yeah, I'm glad I wasn't sitting there either.
So was this one the best or worst?
I think it's one of the best because it is a young Astros fan. We want Astros fans to have that kind of enthusiasm at the ballpark. Oh, here we go.
This
is like enthusiasm from Astros fans.
I still don't call it one of the best things from this weekend.
I think it was one of the best things from this weekend.
You got people muting their televisions.
No, the kid delivered a Framber Valdez-esque performance. Framber Valdez, 10 strikeouts on Friday.
Best.
Best of the best?
Bregman walk-off.
Bregman had a home run on Friday, and he had a home run to walk things off on Saturday.
I think Saturday Bregman has to be one.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Fromber Friday.
Jake Myers had a very good weekend.
Yeah, I would go Bregman and then Fromber. And then I think there's a big gap between whatever's next. Because Jake Myers had a good weekend, but Fromber was really special on Friday night.
Yiner's up there. Mm-hmm. Yiner had some clutch hits over the course of the weekend.
My confidence in Taylor Scott, even though he gave up one earned run on Saturday, just continues to grow, though. So I kind of put him in that best category where, you know, in a playoff situation and your guys are rested and you can go Scott, Abreu, Presley, Hader, 6-9, gives me 2022 vibes where you can just – all you need your starters to do in the playoffs is go 5 innings.
Would you trust Taylor Scott to be able to control Junior at the ballgame? Or do you think that he would get walked all over by, like that kid walked over his parents and the people around him?
I mean, I trust Bregman more. Because I know he has He's a dad. I don't know if
Taylor Scott might be a dad. Yeah. Sorry, that was a weird question.
I'm Googling it.
I mean, like, Taylor Scott could be like you and not want kids.
Well, I know you want kids.
I might want kids.
I might not. I feel like all my friends complain about him so much.
Oh, they're great. I just don't know if I want more than one. That's what I'm iffy on. I'm really good with one.
Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. And apparently,
scared of two.
Apparently people who don't have children are judged. I don't know. What I do know is that all my friends who have them should stop complaining about them to me.
I agree. He has two kids.
Okay, so there you go.
If you make that decision, you can't complain.
Let's go, Astros!
You might lose your voice.
Let's go, Astros!
I'm not saying this is one of the best, but we haven't talked about it, and I think it deserves a mention. Maybe we throw it in worst. Shohei Ohtani's home run.
Oh, my God.
I have to say it. Shohei Ohtani's home run.
I didn't know you could hit it there.
I'm putting it in best. Because even though you won the game, so it's okay.
He's really good.
Wow.
That was awesome.
Wow.
He's really good. That, I did not know you could hit it there. Because where was it? It was like the third. It was in between the second deck and the upper deck.
Yeah.
But it was like on a walkway.
Yeah, that like was a staircase.
Far into, like underneath the upper deck. And it felt like it was still going out. Yeah, he clobbered that.
I just had to mention it.
Bregman's home run was equally hard hit, but
yes.
Because of the weird dynamic, the weird dimensions of Minute Maid Park, we don't really, it doesn't have the same kind of majesty that Ohtani's home run did.
It was majestic. That can be one of the worst things of the weekend. So yesterday, you mentioned this a little bit earlier, but the Astros had three of the four hardest hit or longest hit baseballs in yesterday's game, and only one of them left the ballpark
because
of just the weird dimensions. At Minute Maid.
Yeah, the center field thing, it's very annoying, their left center field in certain moments.
Because
it's also hard to read whether or not the ball is going to go over the fence. Like, basically, you just have to wait and look at where the fielder is running to. And it's such a strange ballpark. Like, I think the fielders are even like, where am I supposed to look?
And even watching the game, it's like, is this a home run or is this a flyout before the warning track? It's that part of the stadium is hard to decipher.
How about Josh Hader in a non-save situation coming in and doing his job? Wow, a closer can pitch. How about that?
That's one of the worst because it proves that he can do it.
Oh, it's one of the worst. That's a spin zone. I like that.
It proves he can do it. He just doesn't.
I like that.
That was very good. Jerry Pena had an okay weekend. I think that's all the best, though. I think we covered
most of the best. The worst stuff was Joe Kelly. We'll talk about Joe Kelly next. He sucks. Stick around.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Oh, threw one behind your knob. Supposedly a changeup. It always manages to catch the ire of these Astro fans. That'll be a wild pitch on that changeup behind Yordan.
I don't know if Joe Kelly was intentionally throwing at Yordan Alvarez in that spot in yesterday afternoon's Astros loss to the L.A. Dodgers. L.A. won 6-2. The Astros did win 2 of 3. But with Joe Kelly, someone who has gone out of his way to constantly remind us that he hates the Houston Astros for what they did in their sign-stealing scandal, it never feels like it's completely out of the realm of possibility where he might try to instigate something with this team.
Never. He must be friends with Mike Fiers or something. Like there's got to be more to this story why this guy seems to take it more personally. I know Kershaw said he doesn't really love coming back here. Whatever. That's fine. But Joe Kelly is just a little, like, yappy dog that just, like, doesn't stop. It's just, I just don't quite understand why he's always like this. Like, just get over it, dude.
It's crazy because he was one of the best relievers on the 2018 Red Sox, who also cheated. Played with or for Alex Cora. Like, what? I don't really understand.
No, like, the opposite is, like, it's his teammate, Kike Hernandez, who acknowledged that he played for Alex Cora when he was interviewed about it this weekend about coming back to Minute Maid. He said, he's just over it. Like, it just, and Joe Kelly seems to be the one guy that just can't let go more than anyone else.
And Hernandez played for the Red Sox in, like, 2020 or 2021. Mm-hmm. Like, Joe Kelly was on the Red Sox team that cheated.
But
why is he the bastion of what's right and wrong in baseball?
It is strange. I'm looking at his Wikipedia page right now. Kelly has gained publicity for his comical repertoire, such as dancing in the outfield during practice, disguising himself while interviewing the unwitting rapper Nelly, engaging in a lengthy stare down with Los Angeles Dodgers outfielder Scott Van Slyke before a 2013 National League Championship Series game, and wearing a charro jacket to the White House. In 2020, Kelly's mocking of Carlos Correa complaining about a near hit by pitch became a popular online meme.
Maybe it's that. Like, Joe Kelly likes the social media fame, and that's why.
It gave him some clout.
Yeah. So he's clout chasing. He likes to just trigger Astros fans on social media, and that's what motivates him. But this is essentially, I definitely, if I could see that, where he is just, he loves the idea of being a giant troll.
Yeah, it's a little bit left, like, oh, this got a reaction last time. Let me just try it again.
July 29th, 2020, he was issued an 8-game suspension after throwing at Alex Bregman and Carlos Correa and inciting a bench-clearing altercation after a strikeout of Correa. He also had this to say on a podcast back in 2020 about how if he had the chance, he would confront any Houston Astros had the Astros advanced to the Bubble World Series against the Dodgers back in that season.
You know, if the Astros would have won and we would have played in the World Series, MLB was kind of panicking and trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah, you wrote in the book that you would have waited for the Astros to come through the lobby of the Bubble Hotel. Would you really have done that?
100%. I would have. MLB tried to go behind my back while I was practicing, you know, at the field, you know, try to have a conversation with my wife saying, hey, if the Astros win, you need to tell your husband to simmer down and not do anything. She basically flat out laughs at it.
Okay. If I remember correctly, when he threw at Bregman and Correa, he was not front and center when the bench is cleared. Like, that is such a fake tough guy talk.
He also, in Saturday's game, after Ronel Blanco hit a Dodger batter, mouthed bleeping P-word multiple times from the dugout in the direction of Blanco. And what's weird with this is Blanco's a new Astro, much like Jordan's a newer Astro. Correa, Bregman, Altuve, they were here when the scandal happened. Makes a little more sense. But for Kelly, who does bear an uncanny resemblance to Lee Harvey Oswald, it does feel like there is added motivation to being whatever Houston Astro he can. And the reasoning, I can't think of anything other than the fact that his second worst career splits are against Houston. Because he's got an 8 ERA.
Yeah, at this point, it's just because he just loses to them so often. And it's now it's even gotten sadder, is the way I put it, because he's essentially their Rafael Montero. Where, like, he's supposed to be a high-leverage bullpen arm.
At least Montero doesn't call any attention to himself.
Exactly,
Just, whenever he comes into the game, it calls attention to the fact that the Astros are waving a white flag.
But, yeah.
Hey.
I did see that tweet. I think that's a good point.
Thank you.
I very much do agree with that.
Thank
but, yeah, Joe Kelly is just, it's a bizarre situation where he's not as good anymore, and he wants to throw it at Astros players, but he cannot let it go. I do not know what happened. He must have, or maybe it was like some of these guys who tried to sue Major League Baseball. Like, maybe he was friends with them, or sue the Astros, I mean, for ruining their careers, even though the Astros didn't ruin anyone's career. But it's just the whole thing is so stupid. And I look forward to the day where Joe Kelly is not in baseball anymore.
I don't know. I kind of enjoyed the fact that he was in this weekend series. Well, I like a little drama. And I mean, without a Joe Kelly, I don't think Astros Dodgers has the same juice that it used to.
That's fair.
I think it's all between the fans and potentially in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, we talked about this on Friday. How many guys are even still – how many 2017 holdovers on either team?
Yeah.
Is there really?
Kershaw for the Dodgers.
Yeah.
After that?
There might be more players from the Red Sox.
You're right.
Team yeah. And, from the 2017 Dodgers.
And perhaps that's where it is with Joe Kelly, because Kelly also did, if I'm not mistaken, play for the Red Sox in 17 when yeah, they went up against the Astros in the playoffs.
He also played in 18
yeah.
when they cheated.
Right. No, I'm wondering if the initial anger, though, comes from that 2017 series, because he's gone up against them multiple times.
They lost in like three. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was four, but you're right, it wasn't close. It wasn't close, but I don't think it was a sweep. But it is strange because of what happened the year afterwards that everyone knew about.
Yeah, he really dislikes the Astros, I guess, and it's just not gonna. I mean, like, Ronald Blanco, he literally signed as an international free agent in 2016. So he was
what'd he know?
Yeah, he was nowhere near. Yordan Alvarez was. Oh. On the Dodgers.
Been a part of the organization long enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe Kelly's mind. I'm just a patsy.
Because he almost is like the he's almost like the Yankees fans now who still boo Altuve. Mm-hmm. Or like when they boo
like
Ronald
Yiner Diaz.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like
I like that they boo Altuve in New York still though, because it's like it's a sign of like, oh yeah, he owns us. Yeah, that we hate him forever.
The only thing I don't like is when teams that were not even close to relevant in 2017 boo
the Mariners.
Yes. And then also when they boo Yordan or Kyle Tucker or Yiner Diaz or like the guys that were nowhere close to the bigs in 2017, also the Mariners. Mariners guilty of that too.
Some interesting accusations being made about Joe Kelly on the text line. I would venture to say he is the least liked athlete that plays against Houston sports on a semi-regular basis. If you can think of somebody else, 713-780-3776 to call in to text in. Most hated athlete out of town for Houston sports fans. Stick around. We'll discuss that next.
I want to tell you about my friends at LaBerge Lake Charles. I believe Sean and I will be out there towards the end of the month here, or coming up at the end of August. We'll be out there getting ready for football season. You ready to make your wagers on overs and unders in college football, in the NFL? It's that time of the year. It's the best time of the year to go to a sports book. And LaBerge Lake Charles is absolutely at the top of the list. 24 TVs throughout, 19 betting kiosks, great food. There's the blackjack and roulette tables inside the sports book. It is a great experience when you go to the Burge Lake Charles and you go to the sports book. Outside of the sports book, it's fun as well. Fun casino, great food. Can't recommend Ember enough. The steakhouse, my wife and I, when we've been going there, we go there every single time. It is a must go to for us when you go. So when you want to bet on your Texas teams, make sure you do it at the Burge Lake Charles.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Astros took 2 of 3 from the Dodgers over the weekend. And from Joe Kelly, who did pitch on Sunday, Jose Altuve almost took him yard, couple of texts. We were asking who's more unlikable than Joe Kelly from a Houston sports perspective. From the 832, Ho Kelly is a great insult, LOL. Nice. From the 713, check that, from the 409, Scott Foster, not an athlete, but definitely an ass.
That's a good one.
He's a referee, for those who don't know. Some believe he has a bias against Chris Paul.
No, it's not frequent, but do we put Deshaun Watson on that list?
Yeah, Watson has to be up there.
Very different circumstances of why he's so disliked, you know, versus a guy like Joe Kelly.
It's because of quitting and then all the off-the-field stuff.
Yeah.
Ooh, say it.
I don't think they play Watson enough.
For this to count?
Yeah, I think they've only played him once. They played the Browns, but they didn't play Watson.
They've played the Browns twice, but you're right. They played Joe Flacco on that game on Christmas Eve just and a minor, in the playoffs.
Just a minor challenge flag I'm throwing there. But other than that, I think he fit. I mean, the next time they play, he'll fit.
Steph Curry got to be hated for Rockets fans. That's
Draymond.
A good one. Draymond.
I think Draymond over Curry.
I don't know, man. People really hated on Steph Curry to the point where his wife opened a barbecue and everyone trashed it on the review side of things so much that they closed it.
But I think it's more of a Steph Curry because he's so good. I think it's Draymond Green is more of the Joe Kelly where it's just like a bleep this guy.
But he's like that to every NBA
yes.
city.
Yes, but he's
where Joe Kelly
also
is
on,
not.
He's just also on the Warriors.
Fair enough.
That's why I think he gets a little bit more.
Someone texted in Garrett Cole.
I don't think that hate's there for Garrett Cole.
I think it is for the most diehard Astros fans. And it has to do entirely with the Scott Boras hat that he put on after the Astros lost the World Series in 2019. Give it a couple of hours, dog.
Yeah.
All he had to do was that. And then it go from the Astros to the Yankees
and then
afterwards.
To the Yankees. Yeah.
When at that moment in time, we looked at the Yankees as more of a equal than a, you know, bitch.
Junior Bronco says Adolis Garcia.
Garcia's
yes.
on there.
He's got to be on
there. I think Garcia's even over Joe Kelly.
Yeah.
It's just he's been so shaky this year that you can overlook him, but he has always been so good against the Astros. It's insane.
Yeah. The Texans is hard because it's like for three years, it was like the most hated. The people that the Texans fans hated the most were on the Texans.
On the Texans, correct.
it was Jack Easterby.
Yeah. T.Y. Hilton, Colts wide receiver, who has like over 18 games, like 2,000 yards receiving against the Texans. Derrick Henry, also a Texans murderer. Luckily, he is in the AFC North.
But
now.
Joe Kelly's not really an Astros murderer.
No, he's just an insufferable.
Yeah. It's just like a guy where when he comes to town, you're like, oh, my God. We have to deal with this guy.
Yeah, T.Y. Hilton and Derrick Henry, they fit closer to the Steph Curry conversation.
Hilton, at the very least, did say, like, I own Houston.
Yeah.
So,
I was going to say, Hilton's a little bit closer.
Right. He did a little troll-a-lol on that front. The clown mask, as you said, Joe, that he wore, and Jonathan Joseph got upset about it. Jonathan Joseph kind of fed the troll on that one. Should have just ignored him. Love Jonathan Joseph, but ignoring him would have been the move there.
Football's hard. There's just like there's not a lot of juice in this division.
Mike Vrabel wearing the cowboy hat and the Bum Phillips stuff after having been a coach here in Houston for a little bit.
I think not athlete, but Amy Adams. I think Amy Adams Strunk might be the one.
That's probably it for football. You're right. Vrabel annoyed some people because they promoted him to defensive coordinator to keep him around, and he wasn't even that good. He was great as a linebacker coach. They promoted him to defensive coordinator, though, and he struggled. And then he leaves for the Titans. And then to end it all with the, ripping off Bum Phillips. I wasn't a fan of that.
I still feel like he got told to do it. I feel like that was instructed. But there's nothing in Jacksonville.
Scott Service says grinding on coffee and whiskey. Scott Service is probably the one that we see the most that seems to just be annoying against the Astros, but I think Service complains all the time.
Yeah.
There was that guy that's not on the Mariners anymore, that Jose Caballeros guy.
Oh, yeah.
Who created some incidents, but I don't think he's there anymore, but he was annoying.
I think he's a Ray now.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, Service and Caballero are good. Service, because Service hit the same level of, like, it is not because he's good. There's no, like, actual, like, the Mariners. It wasn't because the Mariners were beating the Astros.
No.
Because the Astros fans didn't like him back before the Mariners beat the Astros.
It was more going into last year. He was like, yeah, well, we were really close. And they were really close in that series. But at the same time, you're like, shut up.
There's also some clownery. From Scott Service in the 22 regular season when the Astros and Mariners played, and that's when I think Jeremy tweeted something about it, and then Paul retweeted it and to sick all the Seattle fans.
Well, he got engagement.
They also found his address.
So, oh, they found his address?
Yeah, he got doxed.
He got doxed?
Yeah.
Yeah, Paul doxed.
There's some car issues over there? Was it Seattle people?
Maybe.
Oh, interesting.
Cut his brakes?
No. I think there's some other incidents that went on down there. Some shady business.
I'm trying to think. I think we cover most of them. There's really no one else in the Yankees. Like, I wouldn't put Judge in this category even.
No,
because Judge stinks against the
Astros. Juan Soto, maybe, because it wasn't just that he did well in the 2019 World Series. He's 21. Did you know that?
Yeah, but is that Juan Soto or is that Joe Buck?
I think Soto still catches it though.
But I think it's Joe. Yeah, I think you're right on that. I like Joe Buck, but I think that's on Joe Buck. A couple of people bring up Albert Pujols. Pujols was a bully though. Like he just shoved the Astros whenever he could.
Yeah, that's what's hard with like the older Astros or older Texans ones is that the Texans didn't really have like it wasn't Peyton Manning because Peyton Manning would walk into NRG Stadium once a year, shove you in a locker, and walk out. Yeah. Like that's what he did.
The only time, like I remember when the Texans were playing the Colts the year that they didn't have Peyton Manning. This was the first year the Texans made the playoffs, and it's like towards the end of the year. And I think it was Dan Orlovsky under center against the Texans, and they lost.
Yeah.
Some Monday night game, I think, too. And it was rough.
I think it was a couple years after, because that was going to be the first win against the Colts in Indianapolis that the Texans ever had. Except they didn't win.
And they didn't win. Right, exactly.
And then Andrew Luck came in. I think it was another year or two
still
before
like
they
four
finally
more
won.
Years before it happened. And I remember one morning coming in and everyone was acting all excited about it. And I think I was doing morning updates on the Texans flagship. And I was like, we're happy about this. We're not going to act like this was embarrassing and we just want to forget about it forever.
Like no, they were excited.
Yeah, I was
football
like,
this time is, in Houston?
I was embarrassed at the time.
This one doesn't really exist anymore because I think he's out of baseball, but Ramon Laureano, he had the benches clearing with the A's in 2020.
That's not a bad one.
Yeah, it was the bench coach for the Astros, I think it was. I can't remember who started. I don't know if it was a player, but he was one too.
Yeah.
Where?
Yeah, no, it was Alex Cintron.
That's right. It was Alex Cintron. Yeah.
And that's another one because he was chirping. He was one of the MLB players who wanted to make it known how upset he was about the cheating scandal. And then, again, even that goes back to what I was talking about, where it's like, cool, the A's got cheated in 2017. oh, my God. Then later, he got popped for PEDs himself.
Mm, cheater himself.
Yeah.
Clay Walker?
Oh.
No. I mean, I love football time in Houston, but I feel like a lot of Houston sports fans are annoyed by how much they see Clay Walker. Like, once is fine, but
it's tough.
Multiple national anthems per sporting season.
Yeah, and it's always, like, a big game, too. And so you're like, oh, it's a big game. I wonder who the Astros or Texans are going to get.
Yeah.
And here's Clay Walker.
I get that he's from Vider, and it's nice that Vider's in the news for Clay Walker. As opposed to the thing it's normally in the news for.
I think we're going to see less of them this year and going forward.
Yeah?
I wonder I think they're in the middle of a rebrand. Like maybe we pull back from football time in Houston.
Ooh, yeah. Just use Paul Wall all the time.
Change up the national anthem. We bring in some new faces.
Slim Thug. Well, I mean, they're leading so hard into H-Town culture. No,
I think Clay's going to slowly start to.
Now for your national anthem. Here's Sauce Waka.
Woo! I'm going to hear Paul Wall doing the national anthem.
John Stockton must have been one. Everyone hated John Stockton, but I think for the Rockets of the 90s.
He had the shot in the 90s, yeah.
But he's also like a just completely dirty player.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's a step beyond. He's actually kind of a combination of Draymond and Steph Curry.
He's in between.
Yeah. But it's the Venn diagram. Because he was good, but also dirty. And killed the Rockets that one time.
That one time.
97, I want to say.
Charles Barkley. Why Charles Barkley?
That's because that seems more about while they were here.
Yeah, that's more about when he was a Rocket.
I'd be more mad about Scottie Pippen's time as a Rocket than I would be about Charles Barkley. To be perfectly honest.
That was also bad.
Yeah, not great. But we're talking enemies of the state, not people who came in here and disappointed us, because that would be a long list. Speaking of people who did that, Danico Autry joined that list. He got suspended 6 games by the NFL. We'll touch on that really quickly before garbage time. It is Gallon and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
You're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Last chance today, ask Gallant and George. Danico Autry got suspended 6 games by the NFL today for violating the league's substance abuse policy. He released a, not Notes app, but a Microsoft Word post, 4 paragraphs or so, TLDR. He feels that perhaps his doctors did not have his best interests in mind, but he is not going to appeal the suspension. So they will be without one of the two guys that brought in 28 total sacks this offseason, Danielle Hunter bringing in 16.5 from last year. Autry had 12 in Tennessee with the Titans.
I would have, if he really does feel that like the doctors did something wrong, I'm surprised he doesn't have more of an argument to not be suspended.
He must have made the argument and it got dismissed. Lost. And this is him just falling on the sword saying there's no point in appealing this. I'm just going to take it.
And it is the easier of the stretches of the Texan season. So that's what, you know, you're
still a brutal stretch, but you're right. Yeah, for the most part, you'd rather have Autry at the end of the year. Autry is a guy in his mid-30s. Spin zone. He'll be fresher for the playoffs.
You beat me to it. I was just about to say it.
Like Texans
as
Swarm.
As you're winding up, I was like, he's going to be fresh.
Texans Swarm. We have some good news for the Texans. Not a good news for this guy, too. But the Indianapolis Colts leading sack artist, Samson Abukam, had 9.5 sacks last year. He tore his Achilles today at practice. That sucks for him. Good for the Texans.
Very good for the Texans.
Texans Swarm! I'm kidding, though. I feel bad for him. I hate it when someone tears their Achilles.
Yeah, that's like I feel like that's got to be one of the worst injuries you can get.
Especially in camp. You're out for the season. Camp injuries, those blow.
Yeah, that was was it Ramchek, the offensive lineman from the Saints? They put him on that early PUP list to where he was just automatically out for the season. That's just tough. Like what Kenyon Green got last year. You might work all offseason and one bad slip. Like it's you don't even get hurt in a game. That's brutal.
You do play the Colts week one. So that means that their 15th overall pick, Laiatu Latu, who I guess played rugby back in the day and is with the second team unit for Indianapolis, is going to get a little more playing time there.
He's interesting because he's the guy who got medically registered by the University of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And then UCLA was like, no, you're good.
Yeah, the doctor at University of Washington was like, you cannot play football. And he got a second opinion from UCLA. They're like, nah.
Like, yeah, you might.
Let's get some sacks.
Your neck's not in great shape, but like, you know, here's the risk.
Different standards at UCLA.
Yeah.
Lower standards.
Very low standards, it seems like, there. And I mean, why else would your head coach leave to be a coordinator at Ohio State? I'm imagining they're not paying much either.
I mean, you know, we don't know a lot about UCLA, as we learned the other day. So,
well, they're in Los Angeles.
That's right.
Actually, Westwood.
They're them and USC.
Mm-hmm. Well, USC's on the border of the shady part of town.
I'm just going off of what...
Your head coach said?
Yeah. Oh, I forgot his name.
Yep.
The running back. Former running back.
Oh, Deshaun...
Deshaun Foster. Deshaun Foster.
Yes.
They're in Los Angeles.
We're in Los Angeles, and there's us and USC.
USC.
What a great opening statement by him. All right, guys. Time for a little garbage time to get out of here.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Guess what? Another Georgia football player got arrested.
Another one?
Sadly, this is one of those ones where you wish it was for street racing. Georgia wide receiver Ra-Ra Thomas was arrested on 2 counts of battery and 1 count of cruelty to children. He was also arrested last year for a misdemeanor count of family violence and a felony account of false imprisonment. Good to see that Georgia really holds its players accountable for literally anything.
Man, they've had a pretty rough track record over the last 2.5 years.
Yes, they do.
That's another bad one.
By the way, right now, women's rugby is on.
Uh-huh.
Holy crap, they are killing each other.
Oh, it's awesome. There's one that I saw Kyle Brandt was tweeting about it the other day, trying to get in touch. I think she wasn't from the Team USA. She's just running people over left and right.
Yes. Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty funny how violent women's sports are.
They seem way more violent than men's
sports. They are definitely more violent in basketball and soccer. You'll see the occasional person get kicked in the head in basketball. So
you ever seen a women's roller derby?
Yeah, I actually dated
also
someone.
Also very violent.
I dated someone who did that.
You did?
Yeah, yeah.
Were you intimidated at all times?
No, she was tiny. I couldn't believe she did it. I was like, you're crazy. Like, I could... Not that I would, but like if I were out there, like you would be a target.
Yeah.
You know? At least Seth Payne's wife did it for a little bit, too. The Kansas City Chiefs, speaking of people that are, going on the wrong side of the law. Remember this guy, Isaiah Buggs, who got arrested a couple of times and then got kicked off the Chiefs? He got sentenced to hard labor. I didn't know we could do that still. 60 days of hard labor for his misdemeanor animal cruelty.
So, hard labor is defined as labor on the public roads, public bridges, or other public works in the county. Interesting.
Seems like some of the, bleeding hearts would be complaining about hard labor in 2024.
Is this good punishment?
Hard labor's the best punishment.
Is it really, effective for what you're trying to send a message to?
I bet the prison system thinks so.
I guess so.
It's free labor.
Yeah.
I just didn't know you could say, hard labor. I didn't know it was that out in the open.
Yeah, but, I didn't know that was what we're still doing.
We still are. The A's owner, how about this, John Fisher, he has hiked the prices of tickets for the last game at the Oakland Coliseum. Over $100 for the upper deck in the last A's game ever. I respect it. I respect it. That's just a man who's looking to make a profit.
Probably right before he sells the team. I hope zero fans go to that game.
I was going
to
say, the funniest possible thing is that there's 500 people at that game, too.
Yeah.
The problem... The problem that A's fans have created for themselves, remember when they did that boycott where they were going to the game and they did the A's did the same thing, they raised the prices for that game because they picked a game that all A's fans were going to show up to protest. The A's fans, help him out. He's terrible. He's the worst owner in sports. I hope that this Vegas thing completely fails so that there's just this joke baseball team that doesn't have a home for the next couple of years. The fact that there was a movie made about this franchise bothers me. I refuse to watch it. You had 3 great pitchers. You had Mark Mulder, Tim Hudson, and Barry Zito. We're supposed to tell you're trying to tell me that Scott effing Hatterberg is the reason you won 20 games in a row? Shut the F up.
Chris Pratt could swing that.
It's pretty brutal. They don't mention. I don't think Mark Mulder gets mentioned.
I'm pretty sure they had Miguel Tejada and Jermaine Dye too.
They
moved on from him to the next
year.
That's
David Justice.
David Justice, my bad.
Gets played by Common.
Oh, that's right.
Hell yeah.
That's right.
That's awesome. 2 astronauts have been stuck on the International Space Station for 51 days due to a spaceship malfunctioning. Can you guess the company that built the spaceship?
Elon's company.
No.
Oh.
I know the answer. They're another company who's had issues in flight recently.
They've had issues.
Oh, Boeing.
Yes. This is very Boeing. So they've just been trapped up at the International Space Station for 51 days. They can't get home because the spaceship that they took up there.
They have food?
The space station's got food. But they've just been chilling up there for 51 days. It's supposed to be 5 days.
That's an unwanted stay. It reminds me of, what's the Martian?
With the Martian?
With
Matt Damon?
Matt Damon. Where he's just stuck up there forever.
Well, he's stuck on... I mean, that's different. He's stuck on Mars.
How to grow potatoes.
That's true.
He did.
He survived.
He's a botanist.
It's based on a book.
Oh, is it?
Now you know the rest of it.
Based on a true story.
It's not. Yeah, it is, actually. We've colonized Mars.
Yep.
The government just doesn't want you to know.
No.
And if you find out, someone from Boeing will take you out. I mean, someone from Boeing will reach out to you.
I'm scared to start my car.
Me too. And that's going to wrap up today's edition of Gallant and George. We've got a podcast. Subscribe, etc., etc. And make sure you're watching us on our YouTube channel at ESPN Houston and on Twitch at ESPN 975. For Sean Mapes and Joe George, our texters, callers, and listeners, I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell, and have yourselves a wonderful Monday. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace!
ESPN 97.5.
Big news! Wayfair's end-of-season sale is here. It's Wayfair's Labor Day clearance. Right now, you can score up to 70% off everything home at Wayfair. Plus, amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals on home finds in every style. This is your last chance to score end-of-season savings, and it's happening now. Did we mention fast shipping on everything? Don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 70% off now through September 2nd.
Wayfair, every style, every home.